Saving money on your outdoor project at Menards. We make landscaping simple with our free, easy-to-use design program and step-by-step project guides. Plus, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block at the best prices. Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com to see our full selection of landscape blocks and get your outdoor project started today. Save big money at
Menards. So, Don, we've just had quite a lively news conference where Errol Spence management team talking very confidently about their game. You've thought it's important to actually set the record straight and lay out a few facts?
Yeah, you know, sometimes they get, these American trainers, they get carried away with themselves. They're very good at shouting off the odds, you know, and talking a good fight. And they always talk, you know, talk themselves in the fight, you know, as in we are going to do this and we are going to do that, when in fact it's only going to be Errol Spence what's going to do it. So, you know, sometimes when you start hearing a lot of rubbish off them, you have to give it them back and tell them where they stand. Otherwise people start believing it.
Of course, we've seen lots of Americans come over here in the past with big hype. Some have delivered the goods and some haven't, and we'll only find out on the night.
Well, you know, I probably should have done my own work and got the statistics out, and, you know, I said to his trainer, of all the fighters who've ever come over here who are American, this is your chance, you know, percentage chance of winning, because he knew everything about Kell's opponents, how many rounds he'd lost, you know, what colour underpants they wore, what socks they were wearing, if that's got any relevance to, you know, to beating Kell. And, it makes me laugh when they go that far into a record. I mean, I worked out that Errol Spencer's 21 unbeaten, 18 knockouts, about an 80% knockout ratio, and he's 5'9.5". That's all you need to know, and he's a southpaw. Past that, you don't need to know anything. Maybe the best guy he's boxed on his record, who it is, but even that's got no relevance.
And it's clear from the news conference that Kell really wants to defend his title. There's been talks about, does he want to go to light middle? Does he want to defend the title? But his big dream and the team's dream has always been defend it at Bramall Lane.
If somebody said to you, you know, you can either eat that apple or a slice of cake, you know, most people look for the slice of cake, and that's where it's like. Kell would rather eat the slice of cake and be at middleweight than eat the apple and be at welterweight. And that's where it is. So, you know, if he's got to do it, he'll do it. He's always done it. He did it last year, he did it a year before. And he'll do it again this year. So, you know, he boxed his mandatory last year, got down to 10-7. He boxed at 10-7 the year before in his mandatory. Yeah, he went up to middleweight to fight Golovkin. It was nice. It was comfortable to do it. The time frame we had, you know, to do it, you know, fitted in with the plans, and he made the weight. He looked good as a middleweight. It'd be nice to do it again, but obviously these chances come. He is the champion. He's never been beat as a welterweight. He boxed Carson Jones a couple of years back at 10-7. It was a nip and tuck fight. Then he boxed him, yeah, a catch weight above the weight, maybe I think it was 11-2, 11-3, and beat him up. So Kell can go up and down the weights. You know, that we're talking, I think, back 2012, 2011 then, when he boxed him. So he can go up the weights and down the weights. It's just a longer process. He's not particularly happy doing it, but when he gets in that ring, he's hungry, he's vicious, and, you know, he puts it on the opponent, because he's had to go through this camp to get down to that weight to do it. So...
Now, of course, everyone's saying that, you know, Errol Spence is going to come over here and prove what a great fighter he is. But Kell's already proved in beating Sean Porter that he's not afraid of taking on Americans either in their own backyard or over here. And again, a win against Errol Spence will just solidify, you know, that his world champion status and prove to many that he's undoubtedly one of the best fighters out there still.
You know, Errol Spence has got to say that. He's come over, he's confident, he's young. Just like we had to go to America, you know, Kell said it doesn't matter. When you're in that ring, you could be anywhere in the world, really. It was a 50-50 crowd in America when he beat Porter. Over it, it's a different thing. You've got a lot of pressure on you. You know, he's in Sheffield, his hometown. And the one place you don't ever want to lose is in your hometown. And Sheffield's an hard, hard place. They don't forgive you. You know, years ago, Johnny Nelson boxed in against Carlos de Leon. It was a stinker of a fight. And it never mattered how many fights he won or when he became world champion. They always went back to that one fight when he stunk the place out. They never let you live it down. But Kell draws so much energy, you know, off the crowd. Sheffield Arena, you're talking 15, 16,000 people. You come here, you know, it's going to be a massive crowd. Kell will take all that energy. It won't put him off. Some people, it makes them freeze. But, you know, Ricky Hatton in Men Arena used to love it. He was charged. He won every fight, more or less, apart from his last one. And same with Kell here in Sheffield, with everybody behind him, will take him to another level.
At this point in Kel's career, have you got a definite game plan of what you want to be achieving over the next couple of years, or is it a case of after each fight sitting down and just reassessing, is it welterweight, is it junior middle?
You know, he's 30 years old now. It's you know, you can have all the plans in the world, and I always say that the only predictable thing about boxing is its unpredictability. That's it. That's simple. So you can have all the best plans in the world, but it's very rare that they go to plan. And it's, you know, I think that's probably helped Kel in a way. You just get up every day and see what's happening and see where you want to go. You know, it'd be great. You know, it's 2014 since he won the world title. The ultimate plan would have been to unify the title, fight Thurman, fight Garcia, fight Khan. But, you know, it's proved difficult. Especially you look at Khan, he, you know, he's talked his way out of so many fights and so many situations. And, you know, Garcia and Thurman have never really mentioned fighting Kel. So it's difficult. You know, we'd like to do that. We can talk about it all we want, but whether it actually happens or not is another thing. And at 30 years old now, I think you've just got to take it one fight at a time. And if the big fights come, the big fights come. But, you know, don't get hung up about it. Don't put pressure on yourself, because, you know, fretting about stuff and hoping for things to happen, don't you know, don't count for anything. Look at the process trying to get the Amir Khan fight on. So a lot of wasted time and energy. You know, it's a fight that the fans want to see, and it is a fan-based sport, boxing. You know, a lot can depend, especially if it's pay-per-view, and a lot of time and energy wasted on nothing, just hot air from the Khan side. So,
just touching on that, Dom, from a trainer's point of view, obviously we've heard this before, but there have been parallels between Ricky Hatton and Junior, where Junior won the world title, proved what a great fighter he was, but the one thing he always wanted to do was Ricky Hatton. And one school of thought was that Ricky knew that Junior was going to give him a difficult night, so he sort of swerved that. But from a trainer's point of view, you had to manage those expectations. You have to do the same with Kel as well, to an extent.
No, because Kel is, you know, Kel is a world champion and he's a big name and he can fill stadiums, can't he? Just like Ricky. Junior was never, you know, a stadium filler or really had massive crowd support like Kel does. You know, Kel's he's charismatic, he comes across well, people like him. You know, it's a different scene these days. You know, Ricky Hatton was so far in front of everybody, he had such a massive fan base that everybody paled in comparison. So it was much in the same way that Mayweather in America, you know, dictates everything. He's a big view, he gets, you know,
he's on the A side.
You know, he tells his opponents to play the position, you're just doing this, you know, just doing this for a payday. He cops for 20 million, they cop for a million if they're lucky. So he dictates everything. So, you know, with Ricky Hatton and Junior, if I'd have been Ricky Hatton's trainer or manager, I'd have said, why do you want to fight him? You know, there's easier fights with more money, and it's about money. So let's go back to the Khan fight. It's about money. That is the biggest fight pay-per-view in England for anybody, Khan versus Kel. So forget about, you know, whether you need him or you don't need to fight him or whatever. If that fight is going to generate Kel Brook the most money he's ever had in his life and Amir Khan, take that fight. Because every other fight, you could get beat for half of that or a quarter of that. So take the risk. They're both at the, you know, back end of the career. You know, I think they're roughly the same age. The difference is Kel's had one loss, Khan's had three or four losses. It's still going to be a big money spinner. Look at Bellew against David A. You know, I mean, David A wasn't the fighter he was, you know, in his prime, but Bellew's been consistent all the way through, and he did massive numbers because it created interest with people. So everybody bought into it, but everybody did buy into the Khan Brook fight. But we've got to get past this fight first. You know, we're forgetting about Khan for now.